Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
Word.
you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Everlasting Father, source of every blessing, mercifully direct and govern us by your Holy Spirit, that we may complete the works you have prepared for us to do, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Angel's Tide is from the fourth book of Moses called Numbers in the 11th chapter. Now the rabble that was among the children of Israel had a strong craving, and the people of Israel also wept again and said, "Oh, that we had meat to eat. We remember the fish that we ate in Egypt cost nothing. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." Moses heard the people weeping throughout their clans, everyone at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord blazed hotly, and Moses was displeased. Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you done ill with your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight, that you lay this burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give birth, that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom, as a nurse carries a nursing child,' to the land that you swore that you would give to their fathers? Where am I to get the meat to give to all of these people? For they weep before me, and they say, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I'm not able to carry all these people's burdens alone. The burden is too heavy for me. If you will treat me like this, kill me at once, if I find favor in your sight, that I might not see my wretchedness." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and the officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you." So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people, and he placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it in the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied. But they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in camp, one named Eldad, and the other named Medad, and the Spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And the young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them." And this is the word of the Lord. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all.
The earth is full of your creatures.
These all look to you. When you give it to them, they gather it up.
When you open your hand, they are filled with good things.
When you hide your face, they are dismayed.
When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust.
When you send forth your spirit, they are created.
And you renew the face of the ground.
May the glory of the Lord endure forever.
May the Lord rejoice.
Who looks on the earth and it trembles.
Who rises the mountains and makes low.
I will sing to the Lord as long as I live.
I will sing praise to my God while I have being.
May my meditation be pleasing to him.
For I rejoice in the Lord.
Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom have you made them all.
The earth is full of your creatures.
The reading from the letters is from the letter of St. James, the fifth chapter. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it didn't rain on the earth. And then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back the sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said in our gospel reading, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell." I repeat, these are the words of Jesus. This is our text. I'll be honest that these words of Jesus are never the easiest ones for me as a pastor to preach on. As you already noticed, at least in the verses I read, there's almost zero gospel at all, entirely law. But I do want to say this to start with. Whatever Jesus says, whether law or gospel, he says for our benefit. That goes for everything that Jesus says, but especially for the hard things and the things we don't want to hear. We ignore them to our harm. When he disciplines us, it's for our good. It's always for our good. When he wounds us, it's not to make us hurt, but rather to make us whole. He's like a good physician. A good physician knows that some illnesses and injuries require the knife. I know it makes us scared when we hear that, but they know what they're doing, and we trust them. We also know that when we go under the knife, we'll probably feel worse before we feel better. But that's just how it goes. And then we'll often need follow-up appointments and more medicine, sometimes even for the rest of our lives. In fact, the best work done by a good physician may leave scars, even permanent ones, but they are scars that save. And if that's true of our physical bodies, how much more is that true also of us spiritually, of our souls? The more severe the illness, the more severe the remedy. Strong sickness, strong medicine. But you do know this about Jesus, and I think you ought to keep this in mind whenever you hear these words from our gospel reading. You know this about Jesus. You know that he loves you. And you know that he'd do the exact same thing to himself and more if it would help you. He'd give his right hand to save you, or his beautiful foot, or his precious eye. He would rather be crippled and lame and partially blind than enter life without you. And that's no exaggeration. But that's not all. He'd go even further. To save you, he'd be cut off out of the land of the living. He'd be thrown into hell, to the unquenchable fire and the undying worm. That's how far he would go for you. And I can tell you this right now, the devil and the demons wouldn't do that. Oh, they say they love us, but they don't. They say they're here to help us, but they're not. Everything the devil and the demons say, everything has poison mixed into it. And that's especially true of the things they say that appeal to us, of the things they say that make us feel good, of the things they say that we so desperately want to hear and believe. You know, the devil is the kind of doctor who sees a diagnosis of cancer and decides to treat it with candy. In the moment, it tastes good and we feel better, but it's not going to help. The devil is the kind of doctor who offers a second opinion, and he says that we can keep our hands and our feet and our eyes so long as we put ourselves entirely in his care. Trust me, he says, you can be true to yourself, you can have what you want, and you can live forever in a really warm climate. Two hands, 2 feet, 2 eyes, he says. Do whatever you want with them. No knife necessary. No scars needed. Feel good. Follow your passions. Be who you want to be. Just sign here before you read that fine print at the bottom of the page. If we're honest, the easier way does have its appeal at times. Would you rather go to the doctor that recommends surgery or to the one who gives candy? Too often, I'd rather go to the one that gives candy. Would you rather go under the knife and get rid of the sickness or keep all your limbs as well as the gangrene? Would you rather go to someone who tells you that you're just fine the way you are, or to someone who will tell you the truth, even when it hurts? I'll tell you right now, Jesus tells the truth every single time, even the hard truth. The devil, he lies, but his lies are oh so sweet. So whom will you trust? Which opinion will you take? Which path will you follow? Which doctor will you go to? Well, thank God that you're here today. Thank God that you're right here at God's triage hospital, where Jesus is delivering the medicine, and that you're not off in the devil's waiting room somewhere, ready to listen to his lies. In fact, you're willing to sit here for an hour plus, week after week, to listen to whatever this doctor has to say, and to let him do whatever he needs to do. This week, the first thing that he needs to do is to take the devil's fine print and blow it up, enlarge it, because he wants you to know exactly what it says. He wants you to see where that second opinion leads. He wants you to know the danger that you're in when you listen to the devil and his lies and place yourself into his care. So Jesus gives this warning. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than with 2 hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life lame than with 2 feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with 1 eye than with 2 eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. These words remind me of the American author Flannery O'Connor. Perhaps some of you have read her stories. She once said this about her writing, which has been called Southern grotesque, and it is often grotesque. She said, "To the hard of hearing you shout, and for the almost blind you draw large and startling figures." To the hard of hearing you shout, and for the blind, almost blind, you draw large and startling figures. And that's what Jesus is doing here. With these words, you could say that he shouts because he knows that by nature we are hard of hearing and we just won't get it. If he simply says to us, "Your sin is a problem," we'd go happily on our way. He draws large and startling figures so we can see just how grotesque and deadly sin is. He calls for amputation. He reminds us of the fires of hell. Once again, he's saying what he says elsewhere in the Gospels: whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and for the Gospels will save it. So which limbs in your life are candidates for amputation? Which members of your body are infected with sin? What are you so attached to that for it you would be willing to give up your faith? What things do you need to lose, give up, chop off before they drag you to hell? You cannot have your sin, delight in it, cherish it, and enter eternal life too. So this is how I respond when I hear these words, how you respond as well. We say, "Lord, if it's the knife that I need, then by all means wield it. If it's the knife that I need, then don't spare me, Lord. Don't spare me your care. Cut out whatever needs to be cut out. Diseased organs, infected members, sin-sick soul, pride, greed, wrath, envy, lust, sloth, gluttony. Cut it out. And apply whatever medicine is needed. Then keep me in your regular care, like a good doctor. Keep me in your regular care. Keep me reading the daily prescription of your word. Keep me attending the weekly appointments you offer in your church. In Romans chapter 6, St. Paul explains what holy baptism means for our daily life. By baptism, he says, we were all baptized into Christ's death and resurrection. We have died to sin, that we might walk in the newness of life. And then he goes on to say this, let not sin reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Don't present your members to sin as instruments to write for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who've been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Your hands, your feet, your eyes. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Getting rid of the disease of sin and its hold on our lives requires more than an amputation. Taking off a hand or a foot, getting rid of an eye, isn't enough. Sin in us requires something even more radical. It must be drowned and die. And that's what baptism does. And that's what baptism is still doing in your life and in mine. And then St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians this about our bodies, this amazing word, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Our bodies are not our own, to do with them whatever we want or whatever pleases us. Our bodies do not belong to us. They belong to God. Our members are not ours to use as we please, but as He pleases. For this doctor does require our entire bodies, head to toe, requires that our bodies be placed into His care. You might say, this doctor, of all doctors that ever have been or ever will be, this is a holistic doctor who knows us inside and out and who cares for us from head to toe, body and soul as well. He's a doctor who knows exactly what we need and who wants us to be what He has created us to be and who knows how to make us that. You were bought with a price. And that brings us back, of course, to our Lord Jesus Christ. For us to be what God intends us to be, Jesus had to do what He did. He took our sin on Himself. Took on Himself the sin of our feet and our hands and our eyes and all our members. The doctor took the sickness into His own body. It's an amazing thing. He took it on Himself. And then He cut it off by allowing Himself to be cut off from the Father. By allowing Himself to be cast into the depths as if He had a millstone tied around His neck, allowed Himself to suffer the eternal punishment for our sin. It happened on the cross. His feet were nailed. His hands were stretched out. His eyes were bloodied. And then at the ninth hour, He cried out with a loud voice from the depths of hell, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? And He uttered a loud cry and breathed His last. Hell, forsaken by God, so that you would not be, and you aren't. That's the price He paid for your body, dear Christian. So treasure your body the way that He does and use it for good as He would have you do. Deny yourself, even if it hurts, and come follow Him because He loves you and He knows what is good for you and He knows what you can be and what you will be by God's grace. Better than being true to yourself, better than having all your members while believing the lies of the devil, is to be a child of God. And so you are. A child of God who is dead to sin, but free to live as that dearly beloved child in this world. So it's true that what Jesus gives you isn't candy. It's eternal life, the medicine of immortality. And I can't promise that what he gives will always make you feel better in the moment, or that it will always taste good, but I can promise you this, that it is always good. And it will be for your good. And even if you feel worse, even if you lose your limbs or end up with scars, remember the scars that he took on fighting for you. And remember as well that better is coming. He's not done with you yet, and he's not done with your body. He rose from the dead, and so will you, even as you live now in him and through him. And one day, get this, one day under his care, when you're laying stretched out on the hospital bed, he'll be there by your side as your eyes close again. And he'll finish what he's already begun in you. And then you'll wake up. You'll wake up, and your limbs will move, and your eyes will see, as they never have before. And all will be well forever. Now the peace that passes all understanding. Guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, keep us from craving and weeping after what we no longer possess, but give us contentment in the daily bread you so graciously rain down upon us. Lord, in your mercy, cause your Holy Spirit to rest upon us and our pastors, that they may prophesy your word publicly and faithfully among us, especially upon Pastor Jake Dickerhoff and the Lutheran Church of the Way in Raynham, and that we in turn may prophesy your word in our homes and vocations. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, bless our elders, deaconesses, and church council with the necessary gifts of your Spirit, that they may faithfully serve the congregation, support our pastor, and uphold the ministry of the word among us. Lord, in your mercy. Send forth your Spirit, Father, over all couples who desire the gift of children, that they may be fruitful and bring up their children in your fear and knowledge. Comfort those who sorrow over infertility, that they may find peace and joy in you. And protect all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Abby LaBear and Kaylee Phelps. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, uphold our leaders and those who bear the sword in our land, that sin and wickedness may be kept at bay, and we may live peaceable lives in security. Lord, in your mercy. Save and raise up our homebound, Karen Hamill, Rick Silvestro, and Andrea Wetmore. Those who are hospitalized, especially Barry Brown and Savannah Stowell, giving them your faithful care. And all who are suffering or sick, including Janet Lipke, Amy Bennett, Al and Bernie, Bradley, Carol, Chris, Christopher, Dan and Patty, Josh, Melanie, Paula, Rachel, Zachary and his family, and Ed Pinard, and all who suffer from chronic pain and autoimmune disease. Lord, in your mercy. Grant, Lord, that all who come to the altar today to receive the heavenly manna of Christ's body and blood would be well salted with repentance and faith and at peace with one another. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right as we do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna,
against us, and lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh,
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
He is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. We thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift. And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us, other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.